Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour and beyond. This weekend, I was looking through Facebook and I saw so many people saying that their 200-hour yoga teacher training just didn't prepare them well enough to teach. And I can understand that. I can really see how the depth and the breadth of becoming a yoga teacher, from the yoga philosophy to asanas to pranayamas to meditation, I don't know if it can be taught in 200 hours, frankly. And I also think there's a huge difference between teaching a group class where you come in and it's like in a studio or a gym and you kind of drop into that class and maybe there's a queen pose that you're kind of working up to. I think that's totally different than therapeutic yoga asana sequencing. And so today I kind of want to go back to the basics. This is a lecture that I give to our students when they start our program and our 200-hour program also, as well as our larger programs. You know, how is sequencing different in a 200-hour versus a 500-hour versus an 800-hour versus a 1,000 hours? There are layers upon layers of, I want to say complexity, but maybe I should say simplicity, because I think the most elegantly sequenced classes are actually very simple and beautifully done. And the yoga teacher or yoga therapist has chosen the right tools for the job. All right. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk a little bit about sequencing. And then if you decide that you want more, we can talk about how to help you feel more confident in your sequencing. And that could be a course that we develop to help graduates of 200 hours get more confident at sequencing. All right, let's go. Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour Season 7. We are so happy that we can share this time together each week. It's a really important part of our week, and I hope that it is for you too. We want to remind you, you can also see the video versions on YouTube. If you'd like to get early release, you can always support us as a Patreon member. Find us on Patreon. It's the Yoga Therapy Hour and Optimal State, and we'd love to have you support the show. Are you looking for a community that you can be a part of? Well, I think I have just the thing for you. Between all of our listeners on the Yoga Therapy Hour and beyond, plus all of our mobile app users, Optimal State mobile app, between all of you and then the 5,000 people on our newsletter list, we are going to have community get-togethers every 2 weeks in the months of June, July, and August 2025. And we're going to get together on the new moon and the full moon and really set intentions together, both personally, professionally, but also as a community. We're going to meditate, we're going to reflect, we're going to journal, we're going to talk. And these are going to be completely free for the months of June, July, and August. So we're inviting all of you. We'll put the information in the show notes, and we would love to see you join us on the new moon and the full moon in June, July, and August. So the first thing that I'd like to talk about when it comes to sequencing for, say, a group yoga class, or it could even be in a more therapeutic context, it could be sequencing for what I call a functional group, where you might have 6 or 8 people that all come to you with a similar group of symptoms, like people with Parkinson's that are having trouble with their voice, and could have shaking hands and could have trouble with their walking or their gait. We could work with 2 or 4 or 6 people that all have the same symptoms, and we'd call that a functional group. And there would be a very special way we would sequence for that, as opposed to maybe you're working at a studio or you're, you know, out there teaching gym yoga. That sequencing would be very different. So what I want to cover today is kind of looking at these two types of sequencing and going back and forth and getting clear about the goals of each. In the group kind of yoga studio drop-in classes where people come, you don't know who's going to show up, and you kind of plan it out in your mind ahead of time. You're kind of thinking, okay, well, I want them to have a little bit of everything, and I want them to have a good experience and feel like they got a little bit of a workout and release the stress, that kind of thing. This is when we would use classical asana sequencing. And we would start with some spinal extensions, like arms lifting up overhead and extending the spine. We may do some sun salutations. You don't have to do that, but you could. There would be plenty of standing poses and finishing with some standing balancing poses. So that would be kind of the first part of the class. And of course, woven in there, we would have lots of counter poses. I always like to say, for every two asymmetrical postures you do, you put in a counter pose. So for example, if you do triangle pose and side angle pose as part of your standing work, then you need to put in a standing forward bend to kind of release things before you go into another asymmetrical pose. So just think of it as spinal extensions, sun salutations, if you choose to do them, standing poses, be sure to put those counter poses in about every third posture. And then if you're going to do balancing postures, great. Then we come down and we go to a resting position on the floor. And if you look at this chart, some of you are probably watching this on YouTube, or I don't know how you got a hold of this, but you're watching it. What we're going to do then is come to rest, a restful lying down period where we integrate all that has happened in the standing work. In the standing work, we're releasing a lot of vata. Many of us have a very vata, high vata lifestyle. We're very excited. We could be agitated. We could be restless. We could be moving so much, just trying to get so much done. So we're going to release the vata with the standing postures. And then we come down and we allow the kapha to take over our bodies. We've just worked really hard for anywhere from 10 to 30 minutes, and we want the kapha to come in. So we always rest. We allow that vata to discharge, and then we rest, and we allow ourselves to kind of drop down into a more relaxed state because we have discharged, and it's like, a nice big sigh, right? After our rest period, we could do some partial back bends, things like bridge pose. We could do even some things on our stomach, like Superman, that type of thing. And then full back bends. So if you're going to do full back bends, you need to do some partial back bends to warm up. But not everybody does full back bends like camel or wheel pose. That might be something we skip for the day, especially if it's a more beginner class. Then we would rest again. Those back bends are a lot of work. If we were going to do any inversions, this is where we'd put the inversions in. Things like shoulder stand or headstand. If you wanted to do a partial inversion, like legs up the wall, this would be a very nice place to put it. And then we rest a little more. And if there's some counter poses to be done after shoulder stand or headstand, we would put those in here after our rest. But if you've just done like legs up the wall as your inversion, you might not even really need much of a counter pose. That whole section should be a very restful. Not that you're not working hard, especially if you did do a full back bend and inversion. You're working, but it shouldn't be vata. It should be very mindful. Okay, I'm going to go up now. I'm going to hold for 3 breaths. I'm going to mindfully move back out. And then when we go into the pitta phase of our practice, this is when we're doing a lot of seated work. And a lot of seated work is not easy for beginners. It takes open low back, open hips, open hamstrings. So for a lot of general classes, we end after these counter poses. We just lie down and do a nice long shavasana, a corpse pose, and we just stay there, and that's the end of the practice. But as we get more advanced, then we start to work towards the pitta phase, which is, hey, let's wake up out of kapha a little bit and let's sit and do our seated spinal extensions and our seated twists and our seated lateral bends and our seated forward bends. And maybe work into our seated straight spine postures, which we'll then use for our pranayama or breath work and meditation. So you can see how those postures are more challenging. They require open hips, low back, and maybe even hamstrings. Now, from those postures, our mind should be really, really sattvic, very balanced, very harmonious, because we've discharged the vata, we've allowed ourselves to rest into the kapha, and then we came back up and added a little heat, a little bit of fire, a little bit of effort, And now we are ready to go into the breath work and meditation. We enter into our breath work and meditation, probably seated at this point, from a place of balance. So again, just to review, more like studio yoga or gym yoga, we could start with spinal extensions, sun salutations, standing postures, standing balance postures, come down and do some back bends, possibly some inversions, and then rest in Shavasana for beginners. Intermediates, we would continue on with our seated postures. And then as we get more advanced, we would add pranayama and meditation. So that is what we call more of a classical way to sequence asana. And within that whole framework, you could choose goal poses. Some people call them queen poses. Some people call them key poses. That might be a more challenging lecture to give to discuss how to get all of the things that you're doing to lead up to this magnificent posture that you want to share with them. So maybe I'll save that for another day. Okay. So if we're doing more of a therapeutic sequencing, which might apply to an individual that you've done an assessment on, or it could apply to what we're calling a functional group, as I mentioned, maybe 4 or 6 people who have similar symptoms, like I said, Parkinson's or asthma or low back pain, you would still probably do an assessment on each one. It wouldn't be a walk-in situation. You might do something like I'm doing at the University of Minnesota, which is a very popular model. I also do it on Monday nights through Optimal State, that we have 4 sessions in a month. Each one is 1 to 1.5 hours per week. So it's 6 hours for the whole month. And we have a theme. So we might have reducing burnout as our theme. We might have, how to balance your nervous system as a theme. At University of Minnesota, our very first one that we did for low back and hip pain got 130 people to sign up, which is incredible. We have another one starting in July, which is going to be upper back and neck, and then a third one in October this year, 2024, that's going to be insomnia and anxiety. So we're really excited about that. But with that in mind, I want to show you how we sequence differently for therapeutic yoga and differently, especially if it's an individual person. And that is that we need to first determine what is happening inside this person due to their stage of life. That's going to make a difference. How much movement and exercise they get in their daily job or just in life in general. We're going to look at things like their age, their fitness level, their mental capacities. We're going to look at things like how much yoga experience do they have. All of this is going to come together, and the dis-ease pathology of whatever the topic of the month is. Or if you're looking at an individual who's getting private lessons, then what is the dis-ease or the symptoms that that person is experiencing? So this is a whole different deal because we're doing an assessment with the group, the small group, or the individual. And from there, we have to decide, do we want to dial their nervous system up? Do we want to dial their nervous system down? And what if their mind needs to be dialed down, but their body needs to be dialed up? What if they need a lot of movement? They've been sitting all day in a chair, but their mind is super stressed out, and therefore we can't really just send them off into a Vata land. We need to calm their mind while energizing their body. So it gets a little bit more complicated with therapeutic yoga. And I just want you to think, today's kind of a broad overview to help you think through this, but basically we have to decide if they need things dialed up. Do we need to give them a little bit of healthy sympathetic nervous system activity? Not sending them into fight or flight or freeze. That's unhealthy sympathetic nervous system activity, but healthy. I'm alert. I'm awake. I'm sharp. I'm ready to go. I'm motivated. I'm passionate. Let's get this done. That's healthy sympathetic nervous system activity. Or have we assessed this person or this small group to determine, oh, they need the parasympathetic system to turn on. They need more rest and digest. They need to learn how to relax. They can't get out of the fight, flight, and freeze. So can we get them into the healthy part of their parasympathetic nervous system? And by the way, there is an unhealthy part to the parasympathetic nervous system. When people are in that freeze response, they can actually dump into their deep, deep parasympathetic nervous system what we in polyvagal theory call the dorsal vagal. And that just means they've almost gone numb. Their body and mind is almost playing dead to survive. So I want you to think about sympathetic nervous system having a healthy zone and then an unhealthy zone when it goes too high, and the parasympathetic nervous system have a healthy zone and an unhealthy zone when it goes too low. So we need to determine, what does this person need? And then how much of it do they need? If they're just a little sleepy or a little tired or a little depleted, we might just give them a dial up of a 1, 2, or 3, or 4. Like, I just need you to have a little bit of energy. Versus if someone needs to be warrior-like and get out there and get things done and really, really make their way through the world, which can be very, very challenging. I'm imagining like a young man who's going to college and really needs to get more confidence. Then I'm going to dial that sympathetic nervous system up, if he's not already stressed out, to a 7, 8, 9, or 10. Right? I'm going to do something to really turn that on and get it firing. So just think of, how much sympathetic nervous system do they need to have? 1, 2, 3, somewhere in the middle, 7, 8, 9, 10. Other people need more parasympathetic nervous system activity. And for them, we're going to have basically, again, 1, 2, 3, meaning how can I just give you a little pacification? How can we support your nervous system, help you to relax and just kind of let go, surrender, be calm? For a lot of people, they can't get there, meaning they are so stressed out that when they lie down to do some restorative yoga or yin yoga or something, legs up the wall, legs on a chair, deep breathing, they just feel really restless and uncomfortable, and they really can't get in there and relax. So for them, we might need to dial up the parasympathetic nervous system and really push it strongly. And there are some very special techniques that we use and very special sequencing that we use to help people really get in there and dial down their nervous system. So again, that might be more like a 7, 8, 9, 10. Parasympathetic, I really have to go in a targeted way and get you to basically turn off the sympathetic and get more into your parasympathetic. So the first thing I want you to get out of this is, number one, do we need to turn it up, dial it up, or dial it down? And number two, like a hot stove, how high up does it need to go? Just a little lift or a strong lift? Or how low does it need to go? Just a little calming, or a really strong calming? So those are the decisions to be made prior to sequencing a class. And from there, we can choose the best 10 postures, 15 postures into some breathing activities, and then into a meditation that will dial the person right where they need to be. One other thing that I want to say is that our intended effect doesn't always end up being what we think it's going to be. And I'll give you an example. When I was teaching college students for many, many years, I would give them a class that I thought would dial their nervous system up a little bit. We're turning it on. And I wanted to give them energy for the day. I wanted them to feel happy. I wanted them to feel expansive and confident and alert for their studies. However, when I went to dial up their nervous system some days, right, turn it on, a little more sympathetic activity, they would go up, 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 and then they would crash. And I would hear them snoring during the final relaxation. I'd be like, as an early teacher, I'd be like, what just happened? I have 35 people snoring. That's crazy. And I had not considered that they all came in highly sympathetically charged. And then my practice pushed them up even higher, which crashed them down. So it didn't have the intended effect, because they were already too sympathetically activated when they came in. So what I started to do was they'd come in and I'd have them each had one piece of paper and I'd have them fill out a little bit of information for me so I could see where they were at when they were coming in. I did a little assessment. I do that in air quotes, an assessment. And then basically I could see, they'd all turn their papers in and I could see as a group, okay, this is kind of where people are at. And I'd know if I needed to dial up or dial down. Similarly, I've had people who I thought I was going to dial down and bring them into their parasympathetic nervous system because I thought that's what they needed. And they went into a very, very deep state of rest and it looked great. And I was so happy. And when they came out, they said, I have so much energy right now. And that was a surprise to me because I thought if I put you or help you go into parasympathetic and relax, you should be kind of floppy, relaxed at the end of the class. But no, for this person, that was the amount of rest they needed to bring some energy back, to bring some prana back. So I just say this because this is not a hard and fast formula. This is, here's the person in front of you. Here's what we theoretically think will happen if we dial it up or dial it down. And then what is the outcome? And let's talk and let's see how that affected you. And you might have a group of six people in one of these functional groups that I've been talking about where you do a class and two of them say, oh, that gave me energy. And four of them say, oh, I feel so relaxed. But take note of that, especially if you're going to be working with these people over time in a series, you can start to learn which people are affected in which direction. And you might even be able to tailor or individualize some of the poses or some of the breath work for them to get the intended effect. I think when you're working with six people or less, it's a lot of work to do that. You know, you'll take notes between sessions and kind of remember how people felt, but it's worth it, especially, you know, if you're working with four people over a 3-month period, you'll get to know how it affects them. And with that said, I would say most of the people I work with, this actually does work. That if I try to give them some things that are a little bit more sympathetically oriented, it will have the intended effect. If I try to give them things that are more parasympathetically oriented, it will have that effect. So all I'm saying is if you're in a group yoga class where there's no assessment and there's no check-in, do your best, the best you can do for the most people. And if you're in more of an individualized setting, then you have a little bit more control over that. So you might be asking, well, what would I do with people to just give them a slight lift in their sympathetic, that healthy kind of slight energy, just feeling good, feeling like you're rested, but open and expansive. What are some of the things to help people just get a little bit of energy? And that would be sympathetic. And then the dial would be like a 1, 2, 3, or 4. You could do sitting in a chair, just gentle arm work, inhale, arm out to the side or arm up or arm across the body, all sorts of gentle arm work. You could also do that lying down. So you're lying on your back with your legs on a chair, doing arms to the side or up and over, that type of thing. You could do restorative type back bends where you're lying on the floor and you've got cushions or pillows or bolsters under you, kind of opening up your chest and your arms out to the side and doing a lot of nice, deep inhalation-based breathing in that position. You could do things like bridge pose. You could do twists where your upper body is opening the arm. You know, there's lower body twists where you kind of move the lower body side to side and kind of twist the belly. But this one is more of an opening of the arm, what we call an open twist. And all of this can be done with an attitude of softening, of receptivity, of taking in, of allowing yourself to be nourished. So those are a few ideas. You might also think about building in some soft inhalations based work, as well as a little tiny pause at the top of the inhalation. So with just that, I think you would have enough to sequence a gentle class to build a little bit of sympathetic nervous system activity. And of course, don't forget your counter poses. Every 2 or 3 postures, you put in a counter pose. Okay, so if you want to really dial up the nervous system into strong sympathetic activity to give somebody confidence, warrior-like, I can do this, I got this. With strong work like this, it's going to be things more like Virabhadrasana or warrior pose, maybe side angle pose, any kind of strong back bends like wheel pose, bow pose, camel pose, Superman pose, all sorts of really strong back bends and lateral bends. And you might even hold the posture for 6 breaths. Another thing you can do to really strengthen these postures up is to do a lot of them with binding of the fingers, keeping the hands and fingers bound together. So you basically just interlace your fingers, flip your wrists, bring them overhead. In all of those postures, that binding of the hands is going to make it a much stronger posture. So I think you can see the difference between that type of class versus the first one that I told you about. It was just a very gentle kind of opening. But that one, that is going to really work people. So that would be more of a really, really strong sympathetic activity. And by the way, the attitude that one has when doing those type of postures is like, I got this. I'm strong. I'm powerful. I can do anything. So it's a very different attitude than this kind of open, receptive flower that's just letting nourishment arrive. This is more like the masculine. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to get it. All right. So now let's dip down into the parasympathetic, right? And again, we have the dial. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Many people can just go into what we call a very gentle parasympathetic activity, more like a cooling and a calming and a pacifying. This might be things like gentle forward bends, just kind of sliding your hands down your legs. If you did sun salutations, you'd probably do them on your knees and do it very slowly. Lots of floor work where you bring one or both knees to the chest with a long, slow exhalation, maybe legs on a chair, legs up the wall, some really slow twisting side to side, maybe even with your feet staying on the floor. Seated work, floor work, or bed work. I like to do this in bed too. But things that are focused on a long, slow exhalation. We won't use any bandhas. And the attitude here is an attitude of surrender, of letting go, of saying, I'm not in control. That letting go or exhale with a sigh. Those are all kind of the attitude. Like, I'm giving this up to something larger than myself, my community, my family, my God, the divine, Mother Nature, whatever you want to call it. You are not in charge anymore. You are letting go for this hour or however long you're in class, and you're just going to breathe with these long exhales, maybe even a little pause at the bottom of the exhalation. Forward bends, twists, gentle lateral bends on the floor, just things that are not taking a lot of energy and kind of allowing your nervous system to decompress. Now remember, in these individual sessions or with functional groups, we've done an assessment, we see where people are at, and we try to implement intelligently to meet them where they are and bring them to a place of total autonomic nervous system balance. So there are some people that are so fired up in life, they cannot relax. It's impossible for them to relax. We call these people highly pitta vata people, right? That if we try to lie them down, it actually creates suffering in them because they can't be still. They can't slow their mind down. So in that instance, we have to go in a very targeted approach and dial their parasympathetic nervous system down for them. It's a little more forceful. And again, it's all about getting them into the parasympathetic, but it's a little bit more work. It's a little bit stronger practice. It is still focused on long exhales. It's still focused on forward bends and lower body lateral bends and lower body twists. But basically, in this instance, a lot of times we'll pull in the lower belly a little bit when we go into the forward bends or the twists. So things like standing forward bend or even seated forward bend become a little more active. Like, okay, I'm going to gently pull my belly in as I exhale into this posture. And you might even hold postures in a static way instead of dynamically in and out. Things like Twisted Triangle. That would be a great one. It's a lot of work, but you're really kind of wringing yourself out like a washcloth. Another one could be Twisted Side Angle Pose. That would be a wonderful one. Things like full squat, Utkatasana, where your hands come down to the floor or to a chair, something where you're really kind of compressing your abdomen. Also, we'll have full lying down twist. So you're lying down, but you've got a full twist. The feet are off the floor. You might even have straight legs. You know, even when you're lying down, you're having to work a little bit. A lot of abdominal work, like lifting one or both legs. We call that Urdhva Prasrita Parasana, but basically some abdominal work, maybe some boat pose or Navasana. This is where your shoulder stand could fit in. And there's some very special things that we do that I'm not going to get into today in this lecture, but there's also some other techniques that we do to kind of drop people into their parasympathetic. And also, like I said, this is going to be a few more static holds. So the really strong sympathetic activity work and the really strong parasympathetic activity work, you're going to hold the postures. In the lesser or more gentle versions, if you're holding a posture, it's just because something in the floor or a bolster is supporting you. But a lot of times when we want a more gentle approach, we might not have someone hold the posture for as long. We might just have them dynamically move in and out. So again, I haven't talked about counter pose as much. Every two or three postures, you need to get a counter pose in there, something to release the spine, the low back, the neck. But I hope this at least gave you kind of an indication of what it looks like to sequence for an individual or for a group. And then to get into more detail than that, we might actually have to provide a course for you, which I think we could do quite easily if you all reached out and wanted that, to really see samples of what that would look like. So I think that's where I'm going to leave it for today. And if I get some feedback on this podcast where you're like, no, we want to break this down further, Amy, show us examples, talk us through it. We really want to see what this looks like in a practical way. I can do more episodes. I think that would be kind of fun, but I would need to get feedback from you to know that that's something you're excited about. Right now, we do have asynchronous and synchronous online course that goes over all of this in detail. So I think that actually might be our best route. Not that I couldn't add a few more lectures, but I think the 200 hour covers that beautifully and all of the different sequencing. So we might direct you there. All right. Well, thank you very much for listening, and I hope you have a great day. Please keep in mind that I try to look out in yoga land and see where the gaps are, what's missing for people, and then I try to bring that in through the podcast. So if you have ideas, you can always email us. You can always connect through our website, www.theoptimalstate.com, and let us know what you want me to talk about. I just had one other idea. If you really want to see the therapeutic sequencing, we do have that Monday night class that's kind of like a continuing education class for yoga teachers and yoga therapists. It has a theme each month. So we've already started with our 2024 season. We started this last year and it was really a popular thing, and we'll continue it as long as people are interested. In January of 2024, we did kind of a preparing for the new year for four sessions. In February, we did polyvagal theory and nervous system regulation. In March, we worked with chronic pain. In April, we've been working with reducing burnout. In May, we're going to be talking about embracing neurodiversity, and I'm excited about that one. In June, we're going to be doing fibromyalgia. July, working with high blood pressure. August, working with cancer care and recovery. September, navigating life with addictions. October, embracing ADHD and beyond. And November, understanding autism and beyond. So those are all of the topics for 2024. And we would love for you to join us, and you can kind of see how we sequence therapeutically for that particular group. You'll get a lot of examples. And then because it's a continuing education course, we come in at the end and we talk through the sequencing and say why we did what we did. So that is, I think $79 gets you all the asana classes, all the lectures on why we sequence the way we did, and a certificate of completion. So you might want to join us on those Monday nights, and I'll put everything in the show notes if you'd like to see that. All right, everyone, have a great week. Thanks for listening, and let us know if there are other topics you want to hear more about. Thank you for listening to the Yoga Therapy Hour podcast. After several years of beta testing, we are finally ready to build a community around a mobile app, the Optimal State app on Android Store and in the iPhone Store. On this app, we're going to start hosting classes, regular meditation circles, and really start to build a community of yoga teachers, yoga therapists, Ayurvedic practitioners, and healthcare practitioners that want to come together on a regular basis and have a community that is empathetic and compassionate and kind and full of goodness that wants to grow spiritually together. So come on over to the app. You can download it now, try it for a month for free, and we'll be having regular community online offerings through the app, and we would love to see you over there. All right, we'll see you soon. A special thank you to our team here at Optimal State. We are truly a global family. George Mantuan, one of our executive producers. Adam Satchel, senior media producer and sound engineer from the Philippines. Krishna Panchal, a producer from Canada. Modupe Abdullahi, who does the show notes and is an editor for us from Nigeria. And Peter Morley, who wrote and produced the music for this show, who lives in Australia. Find more about Peter's work at www.zenmusic.biz. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.